I'm sure you've heard of the phrase sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Well, I've done something really cool. I've removed the sex and the drugs, and I've replaced them with content and robots. I know you're going to want to listen now.
It's time for content, robots, and rock and roll. Here's your host, Mark Donner.
Hi, it's Mark, and welcome to the show that was formerly called the Rock and Roll Content Show, but is now called Content, Robots, and Rock and Roll. I don't know. New year, new name. I'm highly suggestible and saw a talk from an executive at a podcast hosting company over the holidays that convinced me to change it based on a few different things. Happy New Year, I guess. Pretty much the same podcast that we'll still be taking inspiration from. Rock and roll music, moments, artists, albums, songs to make better, more creative, and more compelling digital content that sets you apart from the robots. Who are these robots? You might remember I had a podcast called The Content Adventures of Super Space Robot, which then became just Super Space Robot, and then we changed the format into what we have now. So when I talk about robots, I don't mean them as real robots. I mean them in the abstract sense. Artificial intelligence, machine learning technology, things like that that are infiltrating our world, particularly in the space of content creation right now. So I wanted to talk about that. I wanted to talk about creativity in the space of digital creation, content AI, which is all over the place. We've talked about it before, and even in the past few episodes, we've talked about it quite a bit. It's getting pretty good at certain very specific things. Like, we're not at a point yet where you'll be able to rely completely on AI for every part of your content strategy. But some people might try, and I fear what the people who try sooner rather than later, are going to come up with and where content's going to go. So that's where I wanted to go with the content and the theme of this podcast going forward, at least in 2023. So there's the robots. Rock and roll, we got covered. My premise for this show is that AI is not necessarily going to replace content marketing. It's not going to replace content creation, at least not in the near future. I've played with all the tools, chat GPTs, the DALLs, the you name it. I've played with Jasper quite extensively last year. They're great in support. They can do some really cool things. But they are not all the way there yet, and I'll talk about why that is going forward. For content creators, AI is a power tool that can be used in a lot of different ways. We talked about this in a past podcast, and I don't know which one, but there's not that many of them, so maybe I'll find it. The power screwdriver, or power drill, or a farmer who's using technology in their fields to map out their field and make sure that they're putting the right amount of seed, adding the right chemicals at the right time in the right place based on what the soil samples have told them. Sure, good farmers can do that all by themselves, but they use technology as a tool to make them better. That's where I'm hoping we can go with AI right now. It's not going to replace humans, not going to replace human creativity. It's just going to make life a little easier. You need something created quickly. You've got an idea for it. You don't have the time to map out the whole thing. AI maybe can help in certain places. You need to work on a social media strategy. AI can be certainly very helpful with that. So I even tried and experimented with some SEO companies who use AI. So my biggest problem with SEO is I always had an interest in it. It always made sense to me in the abstract. But when I took it from theory to practice, I always fell short. Like, all right, I understand what we're supposed to be doing here. But particularly in the industry I was in before, which was corporate travel, not a lot of keywords, not a lot of hits on those keywords. It's hard to know where to go. So AI helps with that, in that it can get into the data and figure out a clear path, figure out what needs to be optimized for, and even how you do it in some cases. I use a platform called Descript to record this podcast and most of the podcasts and other media that I create. And one reason why I do that is because it's got AI built in that fixes a lot of things. It transcribes what I'm doing pretty well. It also has a copy of my voice. It trained on my voice. So if there's a word I need to change, I can re-record it. I can go to the spot and put in my cursor and insert a word using my real voice. or I can type the word in. So a couple minutes ago, I said the word AI in a couple places where I meant to say technology. I just changed AI to technology in the word processing style editor, and it generated that with my voice. There's AI behind the scenes doing that. I don't know exactly how, don't really care how, but it's pretty cool and it's a useful tool. That's all to say that AI is making strides in a lot of different areas around content. There's a lot you can do. It's getting better and better. But even the smartest, best implemented AI is just learning based on the data that's already being fed into the system. Now, it looks at millions and millions of pages and all kinds of content, visual, text, audio, everything, to create what it is. And it's presumably getting better and better all the time. But it can only work based on the data that it's been fed. What happens when it gets data that's not quite right? How does it know how to suss that out? It probably is getting better with that. That's the whole machine learning aspect of this. And I'm no AI expert, so I'm probably not going to say something totally right here. But all those data points are bound to not all be correct. I experimented with the AI copywriting platform Jarvis, then renamed to Jasper due to some Disney and Marvel pressure, I think. And Jasper, if you haven't used it, it's based on the GPT project. Same thing, basically, that all the OpenAI, ChatGPT stuff that you may have played with, even the DALL-E project. It's all based on the same underlying technology and the same underlying original data sets. So it's kind of the same thing. But Jasper would spit out paragraphs and paragraphs of text that were pretty amazing. And I would look at them and I'd say, well, this is good. But I wouldn't exactly know that it was true. And I'd have to go through and take everything that was coming out of Jasper and fact check it and make sure it was right. So where I saved in the writing part, which I'm a writer, I can write pretty quickly, I lost time on the back end by having to go through and take another step. In addition to running it through Grammarly and some grammar checking, because Jasper didn't do a great job of that, strangely, at the time anyway. And I haven't used it in 6-7 months, so it's probably gotten better. But I had to fact check it. There was no, these are the sources we got this from. This is where we sourced this information from. There were places where it would pull in product names that weren't real product names. They were renamed product names, presumably from some other website where they took the content from and just rewrote it. And it all sounded good. And most of it was correct, but a couple things here and there weren't. So I couldn't trust it. The AI is not giving you source data. If it did, it might make it better. So that's my theme for right now. That's part of it. I'm not anti-robot. There's a lot of ways we can make use of these and capitalize on AI. We'll talk about all of that. But creativity, context, sense of humor. What happens when something horrific, like as I'm recording this, we had the horrible situation with the Buffalo Bills football player last night. What if you are writing, creating content? What if you're using AI to create content and you're not checking it, and they say something that's just out of time or out of place or out of context from that horrible tragedy that we had in the NFL. It happens all the time with people that have set their social media to run for a month and not thinking about it, and something horrible happens and a tweet comes out 10 minutes later that's really not appropriate. AI's got to get good a lot of that stuff, a lot of the spaces in between the notes, so to speak, to grab a musical reference since we're rock and roll podcast. You guys got to get a lot better at a lot of that, those things. And I'm not saying it won't, and I hope it will, because I'm a technologist. I love technology. I love new technology. I've been experimenting with AI for as long as I can think of, playing with chatbots and seeing what they'll give you back and seeing how you can train them. Most of the time you can't, but they're getting better. The good ones are getting a lot better. Plenty of ways we can make use of and capitalize on advanced technology and the power that AI can provide. So we're going to talk about all of that. But instead of using AI to create our content, like much of the world seems to be heading towards right now, let's just use it to make more efficient content, to save time and resources, to support us. And I think that's a good place to transition into what I wanted to start the year off with. Before we get into the world of artificial intelligence and making sure that our content is compelling and engaging, I think we want to set a basis or a foundation for how to build content, how to formulate content, how to handle projects. There's a lot that goes into project management in content. And I think there's no better place to look for that than from, I don't even know if you say arguably, let's just for the purposes of what we're going to talk about today, say the greatest rock and roll band of all time, the most groundbreaking, also arguable, but not really, the Beatles. Over a year ago now, actually about exactly a year ago, I spent about 8 hours during the holiday season last year watching the Disney Plus documentary, The Beatles Get Back. And if you don't know the story, director Peter Jackson took hundreds of hours of film and tape from the sessions that would eventually become Let It Be. And he painstakingly built a compelling look into what happened during that important moment in the Beatles and music history. And it changed the way we look at those final days and months of the Beatles. This was their last performance. Not to spoil anything in the documentary, but I know it's 8 hours long, so a lot of you won't take the time to watch all of it. But it took you through their rehearsal sessions for what would eventually become the Let It Be record. But what was also set to be some sort of live performance, they weren't quite sure what it was going to be yet. They didn't have an end goal in mind, which is interesting and falls into this too. But they just knew they wanted some sort of live event. And throughout that, you saw a lot of different things. Yoko Ono was shown in a slightly different light than she was shown in the old Let It Be movie or just the other media that's come out about John and Yoko over the years and painted her in a bad light. It makes her more human. Same thing with Paul and Linda. The interaction between George and Ringo with each other and with the other members of the band, it really humanized them in a way that I don't think has ever happened for me before. Just being able to see them sitting in a room and working out their creative process for 8 hours, it was really game-changing piece of media for me. And I still think about it. I just bought the remastered Let It Be record that doesn't have all the extra production on it from Phil Spector. Sounds a lot more like what they did when they finally did their live performance up on that rooftop in London. There's a lot of different lessons that I think we can take from them. I wrote a blog post on this on the website, which you can find at superspacerobot.com. So I encourage you to check that blog post out this week if you have a chance. Next week, I'm going to start going through that, and we'll basically go through each section. I'll talk about it. If there's anything that needs to be updated, I'm going to update it on the fly while I'm talking, and maybe we'll update the blog post then afterwards. But let's set a good basis for how to create content in this new world of GPT and content AI and DALL-E and Midjourney and all these other different AI platforms that are out there for digital content creators. And if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably a digital content creator of some sort. So let's get into it with a firm basis for how to manage a content project. Then we're going to continue through the year along those lines, kind of building up a basis on how to create content, how to build creative content, how to build original content that sets you apart. Because let's be honest, if everybody is going to the well of ChatGPT and Jasper and DALL-E, which is all based on the same data set, which is the existing internet, you're never going to get anything new. How do we create new stuff? How do we create a framework for making that new stuff? How do we use AI to help us with that, not to do it for us? That's the thesis and the plan for Content Robots and Rock and Roll going forward for 2023. I hope you'll join me. Happy New Year to you all, and I will see you next week with more from the Beatles.
Hi, this is an AI-generated voice telling you that if you have comments or questions about anything discussed on content, robots, and rock and roll, send us an email at podcast@superspacerobot.com. You can also visit the website at superspacerobot.com for more information on any of the topics discussed on this podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast player so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for listening.